Oh, would you join your voice and let's give praise to the King that's here. Join your voice. Let it swell up out of your mouth today and honor the King of this kingdom. We bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you praise according to your excellent greatness today, oh God. We give you praise for mighty acts that you've done. There's no God like you. You're the only wise God. Unto the King, eternal and immortal, invisible, be honor and glory forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. Well, it's wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be with all of you, but I'm really glad to be in the presence of the Lord today. Amen. It is an honor and delight for my wife and myself to be here today. Love your pastor and his wife so very much. He is the kind of Christian I want to be and really have given up hope of ever achieving. But I want to try. And I'm so very grateful and privileged to stand in this pulpit today. So many special friends here. I'm glad to have my mom. The nice thing about having mom here is that no matter how lousy I do, somebody's going to tell me how good it was on the way home. And that's a wonderful thing. It won't be my wife because you never ask. If you're a young preacher, I'll give you a bit of advice. If you're on the way home from church and she doesn't tell you how well you did, don't ask. If you did good, she'll tell you. If not, the silence is her being kind to you. So just, but mom, see, mom's going to tell me it was great no matter what. So I'm very glad to have her here today. I want to just honor as well today. I forget until I come here that Brother and Sister Smith are a part of this church family. And I love the Smiths so much. That dear man, when I was in Bible school and really probably couldn't tell one testament from the other one, let me come and preach in their church. When, Lord, I have one overarching ambition today. I just want it to make more sense today than it did back then. That'd be a good thing. But he was so gracious to me. And Brother Smith, I honor you today, sir. Thank you so much. Amen. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everything just looks so beautiful here. And I come in. See, I'm a recovering pastor. And I walked in, and my first thought as just a participant and a guest here was, doesn't that all look beautiful? And then as a pastor, I thought, boy, that straw's going to be a mess to clean up when they got to carry that out of here. I know that because we put that in our church last year, and it was a mess to clean up. So it was funny. I really did have that thought. I thought, ooh, what a mess, what a mess. But it looks beautiful, and thank God. We do have much to be thankful for. That sign about giving thanks is it's accurate. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, we hide it, then the sad thing is it's not hid to us. We've already seen it. It's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 is what I really wanted to get to. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. My message this morning that I really felt so directed of God a few days ago to bring here today is this. You're a vessel, not a vault. You're a vessel, not a vault. You can be seated in Jesus' name. They are some of the heaviest and most secure structures built by man. Got a picture they'll throw up there for you. We call them vaults. Literally hundreds of tons of steel and concrete that exist for one reason. The value of what is kept behind those doors. That's why you have a vault. Here's the second slide. This is New York City. Just blocks from Wall Street sits a vault which has in it 25% of the world's known gold reserves in it. 540,000 bars of gold sit there behind a 90-ton steel door in a vault that is 80 feet underground under Manhattan, cut out of bedrock. Some roughly $270 billion worth of gold, 98% of which is foreign owned. The reason that that's true is the next slide. This is Fort Knox. Actually, I think maybe that's not Fort. That's Fort Knox. My bad. Because ours is kept in Fort Knox. To get into where the gold is in Fort Knox, if any of you have any strange ideas about that, would require you to get past four fences, two of which are electrified. Granite walls of that building are 4 feet thick, held together with some 750 tons of reinforcing steel. Armed sentinels go around the perimeter of it. It has a 22-ton vault door surrounded by, if you got past the guards, all they'd have to do is whistle real loud because there are some 30,000 soldiers stationed on that army base. And then if you managed to get past the four fences and the walls and the guards and the door and got to the door, you would have to have the combination that opens that door, and no one person on the face of the planet knows it all. It's separated among four individuals, all of whom must be present and enter their part of the combination in order to open that door. Why? Because the bulk of our nation's gold reserves are there. They won't say how much. They will only say that it is roughly 3% of all the gold that has ever been refined in human history is there. But it's not just about money. Here's the next slide. Travel to Cheyenne Mountain in Wyoming. This is meant to be the military command headquarters in the event of a nuclear conflict, home of NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command. The men and women who work in that place do so behind two 25-ton blast doors, each of which can withstand the direct hit of a 30-megaton nuclear blast. Now, to put that into perspective, the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima in World War II would have to be 1,429 times bigger to breach that door. The site is buried under 2,000 feet of mountain granite. The air has to be piped in, and it is considered the purest in the world, having been processed for chemical, biological, and nuclear contaminants. Why? Because our command and control structures are there. In the event of some conflict, key defense personnel and operations must be kept safe. Because you see, my dear friends, that's what vaults do. They keep something safe. They are designed in consideration of the worth that is inside those doors. Can I pause just a minute today to remind you that all the gold in Fort Knox and everything that's buried in the Federal Reserve Bank does not start to compare with the value of what you have inside your soul. I know that's cheap preacher talk, and we say this is worth more than anything to me, but I'll just stop a minute and tell you that if you've had your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, then there is nothing in this world that can ever compare to what you've already had. Do you know I'm looking at the richest people on the face of the planet today? Forbes may not know your name, but if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's better than being on Forbes' list. You have been given a treasure today. That's why I wonder sometimes if heaven doesn't get frustrated when he has to try to pull worship out of me. It doesn't matter what kind of week I had. I'm born again of water and spirit. God's already been good to me. No matter what I'm going through, God deserves something a little better than... At some point, you've got to look at the treasure you have and say, he is worthy of the very best praise I can offer. On every day I come to the house of God, I have a treasure here. So the Bible calls it a treasure. I tried to research what is the most expensive substance man has ever found or produced. And they tell me that it's antimatter. I don't even know what that is. I tried to read, and the more I read, the more confused I became. It requires that a massive particle accelerator cause one atom to go this way and one atom to go that way in a big circle that's miles long. And somehow they get those two little atoms going at nearly the speed of light. And even some they manage to cause those two atoms to collide. Don't ask. And when they do, on the subatomic level, for a fraction of a second, because it doesn't last, but for just a fraction of a second, when those two atoms collide, it creates something for just a split half of a nanosecond, something called antimatter for just a minute. I don't know how they know. But I guess they have to say it does, or the government funding would cease. At any rate, if you do the math, they tell me, if you figure what it costs to build that machine and operate it, that antimatter would cost, you ready? $2,000 trillion an ounce. It's the most expensive substance man has ever found, apparently. And yet, it does not compare with the value of what you and I so casually treat sometimes. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I just want somebody to kind of get it in perspective. When you get up to drive to work tomorrow, you've got Christ living in you. When you lay your head down at night, you've got Christ living in you. When you go through your week this week, you've got Christ living in you, and it makes you more worthy, more wealthy than anyone on this planet. It is a treasure. Now, a treasure has to be guarded. Certain steps are taken when you understand the value of a treasure. Now, you do this naturally without even thinking about it. You might leave an old muddy pair of work boots on your front porch, but you don't leave the keys to your new car out there. You might drop a penny and walk off and leave it if it's raining. But if you drop a $100 bill, I don't care how hard it's raining. And if you're looking at me going, no, I'd leave it, then I want to walk behind you. Why? Well, what makes the difference in our actions? It's the difference in our perceived value of the two things. Something I don't value very much, I won't be terribly careful with. I have a safety deposit box at our bank, and I have a few things in there, you know, our will and some few stock certificates and passports and life insurance policies. I have never walked into the bank and said, with a bag, and I need to get in my safe deposit box, please. Oh, sure, no problem. And carried in there an old melted spatula, a burnt-out light bulb and a broken shoestring. I'd like to put these in my safe deposit box. Why? Is your medicine in there? You'd look at me and say, there's something wrong with you. Why would you take such great care? See, you don't take great care of something you don't value. But if you saw me putting something in there and you didn't understand why, all I could explain to you is I understand the value of this thing. And when you see the value of what you have, you'll do anything to keep it safe. I'm just trying to help somebody get a perspective on this treasure you have. I maintain that if you understand the treasure of what it is to be born again, there is nothing that you can ask of me that seems silly. I'm going to try to make it make sense. But any way I've got to live, anything I've got to do, any way I need to dress, any way I need to talk, whatever it is that keeps this thing safe, Pastor, you just tell me. It's not too much. I know the value of what I have. Somebody's got to understand there's no place else to find this. If you lose this treasure, there's nothing in this world that compares to it. You do whatever you have to keep this treasure safe. Whatever I have to do to make sure this treasure is safe and guarded is not too much for me. This treasure is to be guarded but it is not to be hoarded. See, it's amazing to me to understand with the incredible value of this treasure where God chose to put it. He did not put it behind strong reinforced doors. The writer said that he put it in this next slide. He put it in earthen vessels. You read through Scripture, you'll find vessels of varying worth. You'll find vessels of gold, of silver, of fine copper, of ivory, of brass, of iron, of precious wood, even of stone. But all of those are durable materials. They will last. Generations can pass and that vessel will remain. But God said, I put my treasure in earthen vessels. They're fragile. They're simple. They're not expensive. They're easily replaced. They're just cheap little somethings, fragile items made out of the potter. Potter's vessels can be so easily broken. They can be marred. They're imperfect. They're easily replaced. They're disposable. And God said, that's where I put my treasure. Now, see, we don't know much about these anymore unless you shop at like Pottery Barn and pay exorbitant prices for something that's really quite cheap. So I had to come up with something that would kind of relate to us today. And so the best I've got is this next slide. That's kind of the best representation I could come up with of what he was saying. I put my treasure in a cheap styrofoam cup. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Watch, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Because when the treasure is in something like this, the vessel doesn't get very much attention. It's the contents that get the attention. And God said, I'm going to build my kingdom in the earth like this. I'm going to put a treasure inside people that no glory is going to go to them. They're going to walk out in society and everybody that sees them is not going to brag on the vessel. They're going to brag on who lives in the vessel. Your job and my job is to carry out into this culture the treasure that we have, not so anybody will see us, but so that everyone will see him. If you came to our home and my wife were to serve you a cup of tea in this next slide, and next slide, she served you a cup of tea in that, man, you'd all comment on how beautiful it was. Well, the ladies would. The guys wouldn't know if it was that or a styrofoam cup. If the tea's good, that's all we care about, really. We're helpless, hopeless, and pitiful, really, ladies. Have mercy on us. We don't even see it. We were moving into the house a few years ago, and my wife was picking out all the decor, painting and wallpapering just a few rooms, and my only request to her was that people that moved out ahead of us were very floral, extremely botanist they were. And I just said, you know, just so we don't do flowers everywhere, I don't care outside of that. She said, oh no, I'm not flowers, I'm stripes, I'm patterns, I'm a problem. She came home a few days later, really excited. She said, Scott, guess what? She's so excited, she's bubbling. I found the wallpaper for the dining room. She said, and she pulls it out, and my dear brothers and sisters had these white flowers about that big, huge, big white flowers. I've been married a while. I'm smart enough not to say everything that came to mind. I said, sweetheart, I'm not an expert in this field, but I'm pretty sure flowers. She said, oh, but Scott, they're for the dining room. Oh. Sure. I said, that look on my face just like, she said, Scott, they're for the dining room. I said, yeah. She gave me that look of pity. She wasn't angry. She just felt sorry for me. I'm a man. I'm helpless. She looked at me. She said, Scott, what's in the dining room? Table, chairs, she said, and, I said, china cabinet. That's exactly the sound. Were you there? That is exactly the sound that happened. That was awesome. Please, I don't even know who that was. Do not be embarrassed. That was perfect. Can you travel with me and just insert that sound if I ever preach this message? That was beautiful. That was fantastic. Thank you. That was awesome, God. Wonderful. Because that's exactly how I felt. Just, she sighed and said, Scott, what's in the china cabinet? I said, China. Can you do that sound again right then? I said, she said, Scott, what's on the china? Well, unbeknownst to me, those same flowers that she found on the wallpaper are on our china. She said, what's on the china? I said, usually mashed potatoes. If you'd have held a gun to my head, Sister Reaver, I could have eaten on that china every day of my life and died, and I'd have never known what was on that china. I'm a guy. So you could serve me a cup of tea in that, and I'd go home. I'm not going to know what's on it. But all you ladies would compliment her, and she'd tell you how that came from her grandmama. It's a fifth generation or whatever, you know. Next slide. But if she served you tea in that, nobody's going to go, oh, I love this. Where did you get this? Schnucks, really? Nobody's going to give that to you and say, this came from my great-great-grandmother. Because when you put something in a simple vessel, all you're interested in is that the contents will be noticed and not the vessel. I'm just trying to help us get our perspective, folks. We've got a treasure inside of us, but the church isn't about us. And it's not about anybody knowing your name or my name. I'll go one further. It's not even about anybody acknowledging the name of Apostolic Pentecostal Church. All we want is when guests come in that door, there's only one name that gets glory. There's only one that gets the attention. There's only one that gets the honor. It's the contents of the vessel. It's not the vessel itself. That's why he said, you look at your own calling, brethren. Not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty. He didn't try to build his church out of vessels that were elegant or vessels that were noteworthy. He made his kingdom out of simple little earthen vessels so that the contents would get all the glory. This matter about serving God is not about me. It's not about my opinion, and it's not about my way, and it's not about my ideas, and it's not about my pleasure, and I don't like that. Well, who cares? It's not about you in the first place. Church is not some product or some commodity we shop until we find one we like. It's not about me anyway. So if something doesn't go just like I wanted, it's not about me. I'm just an earthen vessel. It's all about the treasure. What lets Jesus be glorified? Are you here? What lets Jesus be exalted? What lets him get the glory? The vessel is pretty easily replaceable. He placed this in a vessel, not a vault. Because he never intended, hear me, he intended for me to guard this treasure. But he never intended for me to keep it. It was meant to be poured out. What good is a vault if nobody either knows or can access what's inside? Well, our church, see, I still do it. The church that called me, Pastor, had truckload sales. Some of you have probably been up there at some point or another to walk through the gym, what we affectionately call the cheapo depot. Walked in there one time, several cycles back, and they had a safe for sale. Now, not a big old Mondo gun safe, just a little square, keep your valuables in it safe. I read the box. Thing is waterproof to like 300 feet in case a tsunami hits St. Louis. It's fireproof to like 1,800 degrees or something, you know. You can bolt it to the floor, and I'm a bright guy. I thought, well, this is so, I'm paying Bank of America $95 a year to have a safe deposit box I mentioned earlier. This is only $100. I'll take it home. I'll bolt it to the floor. In 1 year, I have return on investment. That's a great idea, except for one thing. These are all returned items. Somebody had locked the safe and returned it. In my garage to this day, I have a safe I have never been able to open. It's still just sitting there. I called the company. And understandably so. They're rather hesitant to give out combinations of safe to a voice over the phone. So they won't give me the combination. I don't know any safe crackers. If that was your life before Calvary, please come see me after church. I have no way to get in it. I can't throw it away because I paid $100 for it and I'm tight. So I ain't throwing that thing away. It might pop open one day by the grace of God. I have no idea what's in that safe. I may be the richest person here today. That thing might have bearer bonds or antimatter or something. I don't know what's in it. I might be extremely wealthy, but I don't know it because I can't get in to the treasure. What good would it do for God to put this inestimable treasure in the world and put it inside people that never let anybody know what's in there? Oh, did that get uncomfortable? I'm sorry, but God didn't intend to put his treasure in you so you could go on to your job and keep it safe. God put his treasure in you so you could walk out into this culture and pour out that treasure that's inside a vessel that was never supposed to get the glory in the first place. The contents is of no consequence if it's shut up in a vault. God didn't give you this treasure to keep it. He gave it to you to share it. He told his disciples, freely ye have received, freely give. You're not a vault to hoard his treasure. You are a vessel to pour out his treasure. Can I just tell you, God intended every one of you to pour his treasure out in the world. He intended for you to pour your treasure out into this church, into one another, into your community, into your neighborhood. He didn't intend for those vessels just to sit there and hold the treasure. He wanted the treasure to touch other people. We need everybody to realize that your treasure needs to be poured out into children, and it needs to be poured out into young people, and it needs to be poured out into young adults, and it needs to be poured out into your neighbors, and it needs to be poured out into the broken, and it needs to be poured out into the alcoholics, and it needs to be poured out into the homeless. It needs to be poured out in home Bible studies. It needs to be poured out in outreach endeavors. It needs to be poured out into your community. That's why he gave us this treasure. I read sometime back about something called, and it's hard to pronounce, the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. S-V-A-L-B-A-R-D. Svalbard, I guess. If you're Norwegian, you can help me with that. In the event of an Armageddon-type nuclear war or an asteroid collision or something that devastated our planet, somebody with way too much money has built a vault on the island of Spitsbergen, which is 620 miles south of the North Pole. It's protected by hundreds of miles of frigid frozen ocean and a host of hungry polar bears. It's buried in the ice but above sea level. Behind four vault doors, each one gets progressively bigger. Behind that last one is a collection of some 500,000 seeds for all the world's plant species. The idea was if nuclear war struck and some folks survived, it would be very important to have geraniums. Oh, yes, we have florists in the house. I forgot. So they had every vegetable and every plant. They got all these seeds there. So then in theory, if some folks survived, they could reconstitute plant life on the planet. Not sure how you're supposed to live until you get there. But I got to thinking about it because I do that. Nuclear war, there's, 1,000 people alive scattered around the planet with no communications and no way to... They somehow find one another and somebody says, I remember where the seeds are. And with no modern technology, they set off to the Arctic And somehow they fight off polar bears and they cross the frigid wasteland and they get there and somehow they get past all four vault doors. They get to the first vault door and you can see the conversation, can't you? Okay, who's got the key? I don't have the key. I thought Fred had the key. Fred got the key. I thought Earl had the key. You mean you traveled all that way and you're starving to death? And just, I don't understand the theory. I don't get it. Somebody had this idea but didn't think it through. You've preserved everything they need, but you put it where they can't get to it. How silly would that be to starve to death outside the door of the bounty that you need? It is every bit as silly as dying people all around us that don't know anything about the treasure that's here because none of us have ever told. I'm sorry if that's uncomfortable, but they're dying out there, folks. Your neighbors are dying. Your community is dying. And we've got the treasure. Somebody has to throw the door of the vault open and say, I wasn't meant to keep this. I was meant to share this. I want everybody to know if you're hungry, there's an answer on Barracks View Road. If you're hungry, there's a solution right here. There is a treasure, and it's in this vessel. He didn't plan to place his treasure into you for safekeeping. I'm done. He placed it in you for safe distribution. You want me to say that in English for you? He didn't put the treasure in your heart to keep it safe. He put it in you so you would safely distribute it. See, because here's what's tough about this. Let's set that right there for a minute. Now that thing can't cost 4 cents. But if we, there really is water in it, for real, just a little. If we could somehow discount evaporation, if it was just left to the structural integrity of that vessel, I could come back in 20 years and that water would still be in there. That vessel, as cheap as it is, will hold that water for decades if it didn't evaporate out of it. Because you see, vessels only share their treasure under two circumstances. Hope I don't get shot right here, but either they bow or they're broken. I fear sometimes the treasure in our lives is going to stay hidden unless we bow or we're broken. Here's what I know. God is so desperate to get this treasure out in my world that if I won't bow, He will break me. And when the breaking starts happening, the first thing I do is go run into pastor, say, would you please pray and ask God to stop this? When God said, I did this so the treasure would get out of you. I preached to somebody today who's in a season of brokenness. This is not because you failed. It's because God is going to touch somebody with His treasure as it flows out of your wounds. I just walked in something in the Holy Ghost right there unbeknownst to me. Somebody that's dealing with brokenness in your life and you don't like it and you've been praying for God to take it away. Can you understand that it is out of those scars that the treasure flows? And if there were never any wounds, you could sit on a church pew for years and the treasure would stay hidden from everyone around you. Would you stand with me right now? If that thing was worth 4 cents, it's not worth a half a cent now because it's scarred. But the scars make it functional for God's purpose. You're a vessel, not a vault. God didn't intend you to say, well, I'm supposed to be strong. No. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. If I stand strong all my life, the treasure never flows out to our... I need you to pray with me right now. God's trying to help somebody have a different perspective on what's going on in your life right now. Would you lift your voice and begin to talk to Him? God's trying to help you have a little different perspective on what's going on in your world. You feel broken and you feel scarred and you feel damaged and you can't understand it. I want to tell you what, God has a treasure in you and He's doing everything He has to get that. Come on, pray with me, pray with me. He's doing everything He has to get that treasure to flow out into your world. You can bow or you could be broken, but one way or another, He is going to touch this world with the treasure that He has invested in your life. Do not resist the breaking. Do not resist the breaking process. That God, don't fight your scars. Don't complain about your wounds. The treasure flows out of those things. There are more than just these two men that need to come pray today. I invite somebody. There ought to be a bunch of us to come and say, God, I'm willing to bow. I want your treasure to flow out of me. I thank you for what you've invested in my life, but I don't want it to just stay here. I want this treasure to touch my family. I want this treasure to touch my world. I want this treasure to touch my neighbors. I want this treasure to touch my coworkers. God, whatever it takes, I will bow or I'll be broken, but let your treasure flow out into this world. You, dear lady, are a vessel, not a vault. You, sir, were never meant to be a safe place for the treasure to stay. You were meant to be a safe place for the treasure to minister. Let God help you here today. Come on, somebody call out to God. There needs to be a sound of prayer welling up in this house today. Out of your scars, out of your hurts, out of your wounds, out of your brokenness, God can help you.
Take my hands, Lord.